Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
This week on Rewind, your week in review. Dueling campaign rallies in the battleground state as the candidates make their closing arguments to voters. Plus, new statewide polling reaffirms how the presidential and U.S. Senate race are a jump ball. And we break down some of the most competitive legislative races on the ballot. All that and more on Rewind, your week in review for November 1st.
Hi, I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
Well, we are in the final days of this race. I think a lot of us are looking forward to getting over with it, but it's likely going to be a very long night on Tuesday here in the battleground state of Wisconsin. And in these final days of the campaign, both candidates have been here heavily campaigning and trying to make that last pitch to voters and really undecided voters. But the campaigns really have directed their message certainly for the Harris campaign. It's been more focused on the younger generation. She was holding a rally on Wednesday, more like a rally concert, I would say. I was there on the grounds covering her and a big push to try and get students at the UW-Madison campus to vote early, of course, because that will end on Sunday. Meanwhile, on the other hand, former President Donald Trump was also in the state twice. He was in Green Bay on Wednesday, making a pitch to voters in there as well. And both candidates will be back again today, I should say tonight. Both are going to be in the Milwaukee area. Former President Donald Trump will be at Pfizer. Of course, that is going to be the same arena where he accepted the Republican, where he was at the Republican National Convention to accept his nomination. Meanwhile, Harris is going to be at the state fairgrounds hosting another musical concert rally, get out the vote effort. She's going to be featured with rapper Cardi B tonight. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, there was artists like Mumford & Sons, etc. Looking at the final messages that both these candidates are delivering, on Wednesday, I want to go back a little bit because the former president has been really trying to capitalize on comments by President Joe Biden, which were in lieu to a comedian over the weekend, last weekend at a Trump rally, referencing Puerto Rico to a floating island of garbage. President Biden responded to that, calling, in a sense, which is now controversial comments, which he says wasn't related to Trump supporters, but basically tied the trash comments to Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. So the former president showed up in a garbage truck in Green Bay, rolled in, really trying to hone in on those comments. Meanwhile, Harris on Wednesday, really, really strong pitch to young voters specifically, saying she, quote, loves this generation. You guys are the future. So let's hear some of those final messages from the candidates on the campaign trail in Wisconsin this week.
Kamala and Joe, call all of us, and them, even them, garbage. I call you the heart and soul of America. You are the heart and soul. With your vote this election, you can show them once and for all that this nation does not belong to them. This nation belongs to you. It belongs to you. It was hardworking patriots like you who built this country. And 6 days from now, it is hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country.
We have an opportunity in this election to turn the page on a decade of Donald Trump trying to keep us divided and afraid of each other. That is who he is, but Madison, that is not who we are. And I love your generation. I just love you guys. Let me tell you why. One of the reasons is you all are rightly impatient for change.
So where they are going is always important to mention too, JR, where the candidates are.
So look, Kamala Harris, Madison, easy reason why. College kids, trying to get them to turn out. Dane County, the blue machine for Democrats. Donald Trump going to Green Bay, part of the Bow counties, right? Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, Bow, Brown, Outagamie, Winnebago. Keys for him. He needs to do well in the Fox Valley. It's a big thing for him. Going back to Milwaukee tonight, why? Well, if he can eat into the Democratic margin in Milwaukee, that'd be huge. And oh, by the way, Waukesha, if you're a dork like I am on election night, watch the Waukesha County Clerk's website. If he's not hitting 60, 61, 62%, that's a warning sign for Donald Trump on election night. it's all about this push and shove of trying to make the math work for them on election day. We are seeing, we'll talk about early vote in a little bit, we're seeing signs, some early signs of good things for Democrats in Dane County, okay, good for them. Good things for Republicans in rural Wisconsin, okay, good for them. Also, the Wow County is kind of like a bigger share of the vote than they usually would be in the early vote. And Milwaukee lagging a little bit. So for Kamala Harris, going back to Milwaukee for your closing argument, is part of one more bit of juice for Milwaukee. The city of Milwaukee, that is right now a little red flag for Democrats. They want to get that to pick back up. Now, we have Saturday and Sunday early vote in Milwaukee, as well as Madison. We have in-person voting on Tuesday. Don't forget, that still happens.
Yeah.
Right? But so there's still an opportunity to kind of boost those numbers, but that's part of what they're doing it. Now, you've been going to events, and I haven't really in person. What energy are you feeling at the crowds? Like, is it, I just see arenas full of people. What are you seeing when you're there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to start with the former president because I wasn't on the grounds there, but my colleague was. And based on other rallies this year, this one was the biggest at the Rush Center. Because, I mean, yes, we're in the final days of the campaign. But I think also more people tune in, more people want to go to these events, hear from the candidates themselves. But I will also say, talking to Republicans this week, they loved the concept of the former president putting on a garbage truck uniform, getting in that and trying to really hone in on those comments. They thought it was kind of a strategy that seemed to work. I mean, it got people, you know, sharing on social media. It did pretty well for them. Will it resonate to votes? Who knows? On the other hand, for the Harris campaign, I know internally they wanted it to be in much bigger venues. It just didn't work out with logistics and planning. And where they are at this arena, which is at the Coliseum at the Lyon Energy Center, holds at capacity is about 10,000 people. Of course, she's held larger rallies in the past. But, you know, I know they want to be at the Kohl's Center. You know, even when they're in Milwaukee, they wish they could be at AmFam Field. Logistically, it's just not working out. So they want to be able to show that they can turn out this many people. But again, will it resonate to votes? Because people at these rallies, we know how they're voting, yeah. Right? It's those smaller events that I thought were more interesting, you know, with Harris and the Cheney event. Also this week, we saw Robert F. Kennedy Jr. with Tulsi Gabbard speaking near the UW-Madison campus, trying to appeal to independent voters. Those both events were for a specific outreach of voters. So, you know, energy, enthusiasm is there. I think what you'll hear from Republicans is that enthusiasm for Harris is slowing down. Meanwhile, looking at polling, it still says that Democrats have an edge right now. So it really just depends if you get really jazzed up, if you see Cardi B on stage, and that means you're going to go vote for Harris. I mean, I don't know. But I think there's, of course, for tonight, for the Harris campaign, it's an all-black musician lineup and really trying to hone in on that black vote in Milwaukee because they have kind of struggled over the past few elections, losing some of that voter demographic. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see whether that will make or break this year. I think both campaigns also are, well, really targeting the young vote. I was on UW-Madison's campus and been talking to a lot of young voters just over the past month or so. But the thing is, yes, Harris has a 23-point edge among young voters compared to former President Donald Trump in a new CBS News poll. However, the young vote is not always the most reliable. So I think that's what's going to be interesting on Tuesday is that, yes, you're very excited to vote. Is it going to be different than years past? We saw that be a big success for the state Supreme Court race last year with Jana Protasiewicz. Very typically low turnout election, right, JR? But it turned out to be huge numbers, especially on college campuses. So that's something that I'll be watching for on Tuesday night. Yeah. All right, let's get to some of the polling because we had our final Marquette University Law School poll that came out. And, well, no surprise, very tight race. In the presidential race, as you can see there on your screen, Harris with a one-point edge over Trump, but within the margin of error. Same thing on the other side with the U.S. Senate race. Tammy Baldwin, 51, over Hovde's 49%, a race that has been really narrowing over the last few days. And if you ask poll director Charles Franklin, what is the catchphrase of this election? Well, it's anyone's game. So let's take a listen from him.
It is so close that even the slightest shift in this last 6 days can tip the race. Whether we're talking about the seven swing states, most of which are on a knife's edge, or whether we're talking just about Wisconsin, this is a race that really could go either way. And we shouldn't be particularly surprised. The big surprise will be on election, or the day after the election, if we find somebody has won by mid-single digits, by 5 or 6 points. that would be this year's big surprise. I don't think who wins by a small margin can possibly be a surprise at all.
So, yeah, don't be surprised, depending on who's going to win either of these races.
So, look, pull a snapshot in time, margin of error, keep those things in mind. The consistent thing we've seen in all these polls is that they're basically within a point or two. So nobody's really actually leading. It means you're basically about even when you factor in that margin of error. What I'm taking away from these polls is that there's not really truly a sign of clear momentum. Nothing is breaking as of the end of last week. That's when these polls are coming out, feels like the end of last week or middle of this week. There's not a break yet. That's the big question, is there going to be a break? If you go back and look at past final MU Law polls, I think we have a slide about that. I don't bring these up to kind of like bash Marquette or like show where they've been off, but in 16 and 20, you can't deny that they missed the Trump number. So yes, they had the Democratic number pretty close, especially in fact margin of error. Even in 16, all the issues, Hillary Clinton was at 46% in the last poll, MU, 46.5% I think it was, in the final results. Trump, though, they missed the Comey letter that came out late, came after that poll was done, and it missed that quiet Trump voter, that momentum, okay, 2020. Again, off by about 5 points with Trump for his final poll number versus final result. So are we in a scenario like 16 or 20 where there's something missing? Well, you look at the head-to-head, 50-49, there isn't really room for him to grow. But if you go with the multiple candidate race and look at it, it's like a two-point advantage, like it's 48, 40, 46, 44, something like that. Okay, is that where he can grow? Is that where RFK, maybe his vote share goes to Trump? That's where you're possibly seeing the potential error. I'm not predicting anything, but what I'm looking for is where will we see a sign of there's something off in these polling? Then I look at 18 and 22. In 18, Marquette got the basically on the nuts. It was a dead even final poll, dead even race. In 22, we had basically a dead even poll, but then Evers won by 3.2 points. Now, in Wisconsin, it was a comfortable margin of victory, all right? But that's still within the margin of error. The thing that was in 22, we felt like the last 2 weeks, there was talk about a red wave hitting the country.
Right.
That didn't happen. Abortion kind of carried the day for Democrats a lot of places, and it pushed things. 16, we expected like this kind of Trump wipeout. I remember Republicans being fearful it's going to happen. It didn't materialize. So are we in a 16 environment or a 2022 environment or somewhere in the middle? That's what I'm watching for, and that's why I caution everybody. There are so many polls out there right now, and people go to Real Clear Politics, look at the average, and say, oh, it's 49-48. That means so-and-so is going to win.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. So don't be surprised if there's a swing the last few days that really pushes election to one person or the other. Will the garbage comments resonate with people? Will something else push voters in the end once or the other in a way we weren't anticipating?
Right. And I think everyone should like what Charles Franklin said. Don't be surprised depending on who wins, because it's going to be a close one here in Wisconsin. Some other kind of takeaways from the poll that I thought were interesting is the first time kind of asking about how you're going to vote, if you're going to vote early, who kind of has an advantage with that. I think there's not really a surprise factor here, but when it comes to Harris supporters, they're most likely to vote absentee. She has kind of a 70-30 advantage on that. But those who will say they will vote absentee in person, 52% back the former president compared to 47% Harris. And of course, that is tied to the big message that we have seen by prominent Republicans, not only here in Wisconsin, but nationally, trying to push their base. Hey, we can't be down tens of thousands of votes on election day. We would like you to vote early, get it over with. My hunch, too, looking at in-person absentee numbers is, of course, like we've mentioned, it's very hard to compare to a 2020 pandemic. But what I'm also hearing on the ground, a lot of people just want to get it over with, right? I mean, this has been an exhausting campaign cycle. Most presidential elections are. But as every year goes by, seems like our nation is getting more and more polarized. People are getting sick of the ads. Well, they're not going anywhere, but after Tuesday, they'll probably tone down. So that's just kind of where I'm at looking at the numbers of where, at least what I'm hearing on the ground, too, of just people just want to get it over with.
One thing with that Marquette question about the people who vote, early vote versus mail versus in-person everything, huge margin of error with that question, all right? But it does underscore with the number of early votes we're seeing, you're going to see a red wave on early and then a purpling of the results as things come in. So early in-person voting, in-person voting, that'll get counted first. You'll see a lot of the county returns. It'll give the appearance that Trump has got a significant advantage. As communities have central count. Remember, those are places that they take all absentee ballots to one place, count all of them in one place. They don't report anything until all votes are done. In Milwaukee, a Wauwatosa, a Kenosha, a Green Bay. Once those numbers are added in, that's the blue wing of the results, right? And now, before, last week we talked to Milwaukee officials, they were confident they'd have things done like after midnight. Okay, now we're seeing the early vote numbers that are keep going up, and now they're talking, okay, 2, 3 a.m., we're going to have another situation where it could be a nail-biter the very early hours of Wednesday about what's going on in the state of Wisconsin.
Right, and just like what you mentioned, too, it's almost just urging people to be cautious, too, because it is very likely, if you could bet on the scenario of what we're going to see on Tuesday night, it's going to look like Trump has a really big lead. But that is primarily due to the absentee ballots not yet being processed in Milwaukee. And remember, it's what we saw in 2020. And remember, friendly reminder, the entire presidential race wasn't officially called until Saturday for President Joe Biden. So we could very well be in a situation where we don't even know who is going to be elected to the White House until the days following after the election. Now, I think we all hope that is not the scenario, but just be prepared. Like we mentioned, early vote data, just to put it in perspective right now of where we're at, these are the numbers as of Thursday. 1.2 million people have already returned their absentee ballot. That is different from people if they are just going in person and voting. That number is a little over 705,000 people. Again, yes, this looks like it is much more interest compared to 4 years ago, but it's a very different atmosphere here on the grounds because there was a coronavirus pandemic. So
a couple interesting notes. Pre-pandemic, in 2016, about 80% of absentee ballots cast were through early in-person voting. During the pandemic, it dropped to 33%. Obviously, people weren't going to the polls in person. We are seeing a return more to normal. It's running about 55-60% early in-person voting versus mail-in voting. Looking at the trends, now, we can look at county returns and city returns and go, oh, county X is up compared to 2020 for a share of the overall vote. I caution about comparing raw numbers of 4 years ago because, again, pandemic, heavier mail-in ballot election. But we can tell the share, so we can see that. The parties, though, have a voter file, and they look at you and say, okay, we've knocked on your door. We think that you are a Democrat or Republican or independent. If you've cast your ballot, we feel good or bad about you voting. They also know, do you vote every single election? Like, do you turn out spring election, special election, or are you a every four-year voter? Are you a once-a-decade voter? Like, they know your profile. Looking at those, talking to sources I have about those files, their comparison, some trends are emerging. The WOW counties, they are a little bit bigger share of the overall vote total than what we saw 4 years ago in the early vote. The question, though, is, are those new voters or regular voters? Republicans culturally like to show up on election day. They've encouraged to vote early. Talking to some of my sources, they feel like a lot of the vote in the WOW counties are people who are reliable voters. They were going to vote anyway on election day. Mm-hmm. Republicans, so that's a wash. Republicans feel good about rural Wisconsin. They're seeing a surge in new registrations outstate. That's good for Trump. Can he maximize? Are there more votes to squeeze out of rural Wisconsin for Trump, Donald Trump? Good for Republicans. Dane County, new registrations are up as well. Good for Democrats, most likely, because they're college kids. Yep. They feel like that's good for them. They also, talking to people, they feel like the vote is skewing female in the early vote. Again, we're just getting a feel of the election. If this electorate is more female than it traditionally is, and there should be an edge, there are just more women voters than men voters in Wisconsin. That's just how it turns out. If there is a bigger edge for women than usual in the final turnout, probably favors Democrats. But these are all like things we just don't, until we get the Monday numbers, we'll have a better feel after that, especially the last days of early or first voting in Milwaukee and Madison. And then you got to figure in, have you cannibalized your election day turnout? So if you're a place like Washington County is an example in the WOW counties where their share of the vote is up, they have taken the message to go vote early. But if they're just going to have the same number of votes for Donald Trump in 24 than in 20, it's not a big difference. The question is, where are new voters coming from and who are they favoring?
I think talking to both parties too, I think regardless of the numbers, both are feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, because there's huge interest. And regardless of which party you favor, it's good news that more people are getting out and casting their ballots here in the battleground state. All right, just one thing we want to talk about briefly is what's on your ballot if you haven't already voted. There is another statewide ballot referendum which seeks to amend the state constitution. The goal for Republicans is to limit non-citizens voting. However, the argument for Democrats is that there are already state and federal laws banning that. Still, here's what it would change if approved by voters. You could see the lettering in bold is what would be added to the state constitution, technically amending it. It would state only a U.S. citizen age 18 or older can vote in any election. They added on any election, national, state, local, statewide, or local referendum. What the argument we're hearing from Republicans, too, is that, yes, while non-citizen voting is extremely rare here in the state and nationally, there are some states like Maryland, California, that do allow non-citizens to vote in local elections. That's why we've seen a push at the federal level. One who is spearheading it here in Wisconsin is Congressman Brian Stile. It's called the SAVE Act. It would also have a slate-wide ban on non-citizens voting. It's part of this overall message by Republicans that due to the influx of non-documented immigrants coming into America, they feel that could create a pathway to more non-citizens voting at the polls. We also hear, of course, former President Donald Trump's his main message is that we're going to implement mass deportation. So that's all kind of tied into this Republican theme. But looking at the data is what I kind of want to highlight briefly is that in Wisconsin, after reaching out to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, there has only been 4 instances, and those are just reports of non-citizens voting since 2015. So yes, very, very rare. Still, Republicans have a problem with it. So in the end, we'll see how voters here in Wisconsin weigh in on this issue.
Just a quick post note. Yep. I'm not seeing groups spend money the way they spent on the August constitutional amendment. So the going bet is that's going to pass and pass overwhelmingly.
Yeah, I did ask the Republican state party here how much they've spent. They said a couple $1,000s and just, you know, letting people know this is out there, but it's definitely not what we saw compared in August of Dems spending heavily on the amendment issue. Let's just look at some legislative races for what we are mm-hmm. paying close attention to, but it's going to be very interesting because the amount of money that has been spent in just legislative races. We're not talking about U.S. Senate races. We're talking about state Senate races and legislative races in the Assembly. The one we want to highlight, 8th Senate District, that's between Dewey Strobel, the incumbent Republican, and Jody Habesh-Sinkin, a Milwaukee Democrat. Looking at the 14th Senate District also as well, that is between incumbent Republican Joan Baldwin and newcomer Democrat Sarah Kieski.
So let's set the stage. Democrats are not going to flip the Senate this fall. There just aren't enough seats in play. Remember, Republicans began the session with a 22-11 supermajority. So the question is, with this new maps, how many seats can Dems pick up to then set the stage for 2026? They must, and like at 26, there are 3 seats really kind of in play. So they must win, they must net 3 seats essentially. There are 5 races people have talked about this year. Brad Paff up on Alaska, state senator, and Stacey Klein, Trempealeau County supervisor running out there. Most folks aren't talking about that race, so let's assume for our exercise that Brad Paff is okay. All right, so then up in Green Bay is an open seat. Up in the stretch from Oshkosh to Appleton, open seat. Democrats have a spending advantage up there. Let's just say for exercise they pick up those 2 seats, okay. For Republicans, if they lose one of these 2 seats, the 14th and 8th, the door is open to 26 being flipped. If they lose both, then it makes it way easier for Democrats in 2026. If they win both, they basically close the door. Mm-hmm. So this is what the stakes are here. These races, what I'm watching for, you have incumbents who are being outspent by their challengers. You have Dewey Strobel in a better seat, number-wise, than Joan Baldwin, but he's more conservative in the seat. He's got a reputation for being kind of more of the right wing of the Senate Republican caucus. He's being outspent 4-1 so far in that district. It's a suburban one. Are we going to see the continued erosion of the Republican brand in suburban Milwaukee? That could be key there. That plus the money might dictate what happens there. Baldwin, she's running in an uphill in a kind of a 53-ish, 54-ish Democratic district. But she has more of a moderate image, more of a bipartisan image. So earlier this fall, I don't know what you were picking up, but people are telling me that they felt Joan had a better chance to win than Dewey because she has that kind of brand. Now as we're getting into the nitty-gritty of the final results, coming in, it switched a little bit. I now hear more like, well, Dewey might be the one that survives because top of the ticket. We're talking new districts, new voters, people don't know as well. They feel like the top will drive it. So if Trump wins the 8th Senate district, probably helps Dewey Strobel. If Kamala Harris wins the 14th, probably helps Sarkiewski. It's maybe not that simple, but that's what you got to watch. If you're watching for keys, like for the Democrats, what's going on, watch those two races on Tuesday.
All right, let's move on to some assembly races that we're keeping a close eye on. And these are some toss-ups. We're going to begin with that one. I think you mentioned, too, in the Green Bay area, the race between Patrick Buckley and Brown County Assistant D.A. Ryan Spade, two newcomers seeking that race. Also, the 88th Assembly District in the Green Bay area is another one we're watching. GOP and Dem seats, too. You can just take a look at your screen. We don't have time to go over all of these. But also, one thing that I've also been watching for is the Todd Novak race, Dodgeville Republican versus a newcomer, Elizabeth Grabe in Mount Horeb. That will be a fascinating one to watch as well. And then there's also incumbents just really trying to hold on to their seats, too. That's the 30th Assembly District in Western Wisconsin and the 94th also in Western Wisconsin as well. What are some of the maybe some just some takeaways from? I know we have a lot of races before us. We're kind of running out of time here, JR.
Green Bay seats, they're swingy. They're toss-ups. Democrats win those, probably a good sign for them. Those three Republicans are the Dean Coffert, the Todd Novak, the Jesse Rodriguez. Dean's not an incumbent, but he was a lawmaker, former mayor of Neenah. They are running in 53%-ish Democratic districts. Republicans need those for a workable majority. We've talked this before with Robin Voss, a speaker, and problems he's had with his caucus. If he's at 52 seats, he's in trouble. He wants 54, 55. Those are the key to making a manageable caucus. Those in the swing seats, Steve Doyle, he's outspending his opponent. Ryan Hipsch, you talked about last week, he's had some problems with past social media comments. If Steve Doyle loses, that means Trump did well there. That's a sign for what's happening across the state. So this is kind of some keys you can watch on Tuesday.
All right, let's get to stock picks this week. And rising is, well, spending, of course, is up in the U.S. Senate race.
So this is just ad impact, just spending on ads, $230 million in the Senate race. That eclipses the previous record for all spending. That includes like infrastructure, staff. So we're just on ads. We spent more than record from 2 years ago when it was Ron Johnson versus Mandela Barnes. The key there is still the same as been almost the entire fall. Eric Hovde is consolidating the Republicans' base. He still trails Donald Trump. Does Hovde have a path to victory without Donald Trump winning Wisconsin? Likely not, unless the only thing I've heard, maybe you've heard this too, is this idea of anti-Trump Republicans who will still vote for Hovde, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many of them are out there, though. But for the alarm bells from 2 weeks ago about Baldwin, things have kind of stabilized. Is there a polling error, and is there momentum with Donald Trump last week that could dictate that race?
I don't hear too many people talking about it, but the possibility of, again, going back to 2022, excuse me, split ticket, mm-hmm. maybe. I mean, Democrats had a great night in 2022, but they lost the Senate seat. Ron Johnson still won. So is that something maybe we see here in 2024? I don't know. There's only been a few whispers about it that I've heard so far. All right, let's get to mixed school referendums, which we're going to tie to some of the polling that we saw, a big flip in Marquette.
So look, for much of the 20-teens, Republicans were in charge. The money they put in the school spending was to drive down how much you could take from property tax. It wasn't to boost overall spending. Remember, there's a cap on per pupil spending between state aid and property taxes. The more state aid you put in, the less you can raise from property taxes. Voters basically didn't like that system. It became in 2015 where they preferred to put more money to school than to keep a check on property taxes. Well, the poll has now flipped. Four times in a row, they preferred to lower property taxes than to put money to schools. That's a warning sign for Tuesday because there's $4.2 billion, I think, in referendum on the ballot, a record. In the spring, 60% of referendums were approved between February and April. Wisconsin Policy Forum noted that was like the lowest approval rating in like a dozen years or so. So if you're watching school referendums on Tuesday and see a bunch of them go down, this is the warning sign of like why they're not going for it, because people are kind of getting fed up with prices and costs and saying this is too much.
Strapped for cash. Yeah. All right. And falling this week is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who lost his long shot bid with the U.S. Supreme Court, which I think we can officially say is the final nail in the coffin for him to try and remove his name off the ballot.
We think so.
Well, yeah.
Now, look, he was in Madison this week. He said that there was election interference to keep him on the ballot. Also made two false statements about what happened. He said this court was split. It was not. It was a unanimous, no dissent on the order denying his thing. And two, he said Democrats sued to keep him off the ballot in Wisconsin. That's not, or keep him on the ballot. that's not true either. Now, there was, Department of Justice did defend the Elections Commission in Kenny's lawsuit, but either way, he's on the ballot. The question is he going to be a deciding factor on Tuesday? In the Marquette poll, he went from 3% last month to 5%. I don't think he's getting 5%. From talking to people, they're not seeing 5. But is that 5%, are they RFK voters who are true RFK supporters and just aren't going to go anywhere else? Are the Republicans who are going, I can't quite pull the trigger for Trump just yet, but when push comes to shove on Tuesday, I'm going to vote for him or somebody else? Do they stay home? That's enough of a piece of the pie to swing things. Remember we talked about that kind of final number and how things can get up? If there's 5% who can move, that could change the entire complexion of the race. Much like Jill Stein at 1%, Cornel West is on the ballot. There are all these complicating factors for both Harris and Trump that create a lot of uncertainty, which also could mean a very long night and long morning on Wednesday next week until we know who actually won Wisconsin.
All right. Well, stay tuned and brace yourself, everyone. All right. That will do it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
We'll see you next week.
This program was brought to you from the Margaret Farrell Studio.
Rewind, Your Week in Review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.